in there. Good gravy, punk itself, rather than any diet too. And you might be able to focus much more on the problems of the razors and the development of the industry. Have the opportunity then to focus on the development of the industry rather than only land planning focus on the industry focus. Like very much a question. In fact, it's your answer to this require designation call it. And then has some different interests where you really are talking about farming production, so they still have a economic interest. Getting back to the grazers, so to speak, really want to be a land per se. I think if you look at it as something analogous to the central region of any type of culture, you have much, much more of an opportunity to address this whole lot of problems.
I want to ask Jay, who all was represented on that Idaho Grazing Advisory?
I was just kind of making a little list of what I thought would be good for that.
They included some of the land management agencies in that group.
Yeah, they've got a nice little array here. The chairman is Bud Purdy. You probably read about him in Time Magazine. He's the rancher unspeakable who's been about three generations on the land and now they want to kick him off. His family built the railroad in that contract.
D-U-R-D-U-R.
And the executive secretary is the head of the Ring Science Department in the first state. The BLM, the Forest Service, the Experiment Station, plus representatives from Region 1 and Region 4, for both
Forest Service.
Idaho Cattlemen, Idaho Department of Agriculture, the Department of Fish and Game, the Department of Land, Department of Water Resources, Fish and Game Commission, the Idaho Forestry Council, the Governor's Office, Soil Conservation Service Commission of the state, Idaho Wildlife Federation, the Wool Growers, and I don't know who the Snake River Regional Study Center people are, but Science Education Commission.
Is that the SES station
member? Maybe it is. The old USDA Agricultural Research Service, which is now CSAR, and Soil Conservation Service. Then the Dean of the College of Agriculture and the Dean of the College of Forestry, which is the university administrator, work over there. That happens to fit their group. I can see here where we want the Native Corporation, the reindeer people, wool producers, if we have any cattlemen, similar array of individuals.
But they also did have agency people represented on
agency them. People and government people. But we might also, in this state, we might want our legislative ag committee.
In a fiscal vehicle for the operating.
Everybody here works on their own, supported from their own agents, except for the publication and research work that came from and I had to make a phone call to find out what this means. And I called the Pacific Northwest Regional Commission, and I said, "What's that?" And they told me that it's federal money that comes to the governor of the state, and they have discretion on how they want to use it. And so the committee wrote a one-page proposal to the governor to approve the funds for them to do the research work, to fund any special activities that they needed. It pays the salary, I think the total salary for the head of the range department, I don't know. He's almost full-time, working almost all the time on it.
You have comment on it?
Yeah. In this gathering that we've got here now, it's quite similar in a way to State Association Soil Conservation Subject. When you look around, we've got at least two that I know of, producers here, Danny and Bruce. And the rest of us are more or less bureaucrats, basically. And I don't know, to me it seems like possibly the best thing to work in the manner that you'd like to see it work, maybe that at the land management people, the bureaucrats, so to speak, should be available to give assistance to this committee. But provided there was some funding so the guys could get together and meet, in my opinion, this committee would be better off without the professionals on it. Have the professionals there available with expertise, but make the committee, kind of like what Kelly said, make the committee of actual doer people.
Well, I think that
people that are actually on the land.
I think that's what we're saying. I believe all the way around the table here, that's the people that's got their feet wet, in other words, would be the prime suspect, so to speak.
To talk a little bit about the structure, who this should be the main organization which would fall under. If we had a real resource problem, a conservation problem, I could see a possibility of it falling under conservation for the sub-districts. I don't think we do have that real resource problem. I think the resources are there, and we pretty much know how to get those resources and use them. And your biggest problem is the marketing and the structure and all of the everything related around harvesting that product and getting it to market. And because of that, I think you probably should have an organization that very definitely is orientated to that, with heavy representation from the state and pulling in all of this other available expertise, but still have a good core of people like Kelly and everybody said.
I guess my point is that I feel like, to make it blunt, the bureaucrat should not be on the committee. The committee should be people like Bruce, Danny, from around the state that are interested in the availability to draw on the expertise of the professionals. But don't load the committee with professionals, because I don't think it will function in the way that
I've seen
you'd like to see it
function. A meeting last night, the guide board, speaking along the lines of something like a group summer for the guide board or the Peace and Game board or something like that. This is what I'm doing. Now they're basically members of the industry.
Yeah, that's really what I'm saying. Let the reindeer people, the cattle people, the sheep people form up the active committee, the users, the doers.
Now how would you determine, it should be, and this, I come back to this area business. How would you determine who would represent what area now, and the size of the area? Would you have, for example, say, Danny's folks out there on the Seward Peninsula, which is where most of our reindeer business is going on right now, from the reindeer industry, and then we've got the Kenai, which is looking at the cattle in the Kodak area.
Some action on the
and
chain.
Then from the interior, maybe.
I would tend to look for that particular entity to name their own representative. In other words, the reindeer herders name a representative to that committee. The livestock growers name their representative, two or whatever the committee was set up to handle, and the wool growers the same way.
Now, of course, you know, there's one other thing we have to look at, too, that gives us more clout, is from the governor's office and the legislature. You can come up with all kind of ideas, but if the governor's going to veto them out, then we're just as bad off as we were before. Or if the legislature is going to, if you don't have some tie-in with the legislature. In other words, we're talking about having the actual producers, the people involved in the industry, maybe, and someone appointed by the governor, maybe as his representative in the committee, and someone representing from the legislature. Too.
What did you come up with? You could say that this was your committee working under you or under Pat or whatever, have your tie-in that way, more or less?
Well, I'd like to just suggest that there are boards in other states that function with a great deal of power and influence, actually used in Pennsylvania and another state. And I'd like to say New York. No, they actually have power over the Department of Agriculture. And I'm not proposing that, but I'm leading into something. This board is composed of people who are producers and also people who are into research and in some cases the cooperative extension service and so forth, the educators in the industry as well. But it tends to be the majority of the board members tend to be from the industry, the producers, the principal producers across the state. But so what I'm proposing, I guess, is just to throw into the pot is that if there were a board or a committee or whatever you want to call it, that perhaps the majority could be from the industry directly, and then have the participants be from other influential and active elements of the state.
Very often, though, there are agency personnel named to be
the exhibition. Yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah, they do. Like Monty said, they're there to solve
not all that different from the relationship of SCS and the local district.
No.
We work a pretty effective team, and for example, as a DC, the local soil conservation subdivision gives me my direction. They tell me which way they would like to place their emphasis, me being the bureaucrat. So it's a grassroots level organization, and it's running that way.
The big difference in that we are more specialized in resources, resource management, and conservation practices, where you need somebody over here working along some other areas.
Right. Well, you got a political arm in this group, right? This is what I was referring to a moment ago. Politics, don't forget that. Well, I guess maybe what our conversation and our input here has been to this point is that my interpretation of what I'm hearing is that we need to set up a committee. And we've kind of gone through the structure of the committee here. And I guess the next thing is time frame, in a sense. Like we said a moment ago here, that it should have been yesterday. Now, what kind of time frames are we looking at now? I don't think we can do anything as far as getting it really going until we get some money. So I know that's going to be after January 14th.
Seems like a week of getting into the last protection.
If it's
an
official board, that's a board with a name, and the then they come under the provision that they would be paid as board members of traveling for the, assuming that the board is budgeted.
This is where I'm coming from on that, because I think that'll alleviate some of the funding problems that we're not getting.
You would have to be able to ramrod a specific piece of legislation through to establish a board.
Kelly, when we began to talk in terms of a Department of Agriculture, I'm sure you remember, a lot of states have an ag board that oversees the director of the department or commissioner of the Department of Agriculture. You know, it seems to me that it's going to be difficult to get a range user board established in the state. Maybe we should think in terms of the overall ag board to oversee a department, which might be easier legislation to pass. How do you feel about that? You're the one who's read most of that correspondence. I mean,
well, I kind of felt out people in other parts of the state, but of government, and the governor is very strong in the state, and his commissioners hold a great deal of power, and if the Department of Agriculture was set up that way, it would be unique.
in the state.
Yes, and it would also be a rather innovative step with regards to the government's position in the state.
Would it be
the Michigan Game Board set up to not do what we're talking about?
And this is what
that's
I mentioned
true.
While ago.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of the practicalities of legislation, you know, if we have a grand plan that covers a lot of things that might be like to sell, it's something pretty aggressive as an industry, grazing industry, that's really in its infancy, it might be difficult to establish funding for a board at any time, since we are more than our industry. We can't quote fantastic figures of that board production.
Yeah, another, you have another problem, and I think it was mentioned earlier. There's very little financial capability within the private industry as a group to really lobby and push for anything to get it established or to carry weight after dark, unless it does something.
But if you've got representatives in on board, similar to what we're talking about, then they are more or less funded a lot. That's what it boils down to.
I would like to point out, though, that there is a tremendous financial asset existing in this state in agricultural areas, just in the reindeer industry alone. If those animals are considered in terms of equity or financial assets, it's stupendous. And probably, I don't believe these figures have ever been brought to light, or the great amount of investment in agriculture that currently exists here in this state. And I don't believe that really the general public has any idea, really, or even any of us here, really, know exactly how much money there is invested in Alaska, existing now.
But some ammunition we need to support our request for department, but is that needed?
Adam?
Are we talking about possibly two things here? As was mentioned earlier, we've got some immediate needs. We don't even know where the range went. Are we talking a resource analysis phase that could be a line item thing, right, in the existing Department of Natural Resources budget this year, or in this case, a technical action committee of probably most of the bureaucrats in this case, to identify the range of resources for the state. And then the other thing is the bigger component of the department, which is for the staff information for I hate to put all our eggs into trying to get a department this year, because if we don't, then the range issue dies right there. And I'd like to see us try to do something in the range issue as we build on the other issues.
I'm wondering about Pat's little story when he started, you know, about the dog and the baby. if we go for the department and our plan is that the board shall back up the department, then we probably could get the board.
That's exactly what I was thinking about when we started this kind of joke.
It might be a good fallback.
Any other comments along these lines? John, you just come in and you kind of missed some of it. You got any thoughts? I thought maybe we would go on till about 10:30 and then take a coffee break. And Kelly, have we got enough here to set up a report of some sort? I guess the conclusion to the committee here, or the group here, is we try to get some sort of a board or a committee or something going as soon as possible. And I'm still looking at a time frame. And I think maybe what Pat was saying a minute ago, along that line, I keep going back to the Delta project. The damn thing worked. And one of the first groups was those planning committees. Maybe that's what we're looking at here, only on a more grandiose scale to start with. What do we start with first? We don't want to let this thing die here today when we walk out of here and not be involved again in the immediate future, really.
Well, I don't want to throw a bunch of negative objections, but I'm thinking about Bob Palmer's reaction to that action council to create a statewide board of agriculture. It might be a significant opposition, and I'm not sure how to approach that to throw it out of it.
Maybe he's put his funding in that shelf.
That's more than one way to bounce the ball.
Kelly, what do you think?
I think if you can get something started, you get another meeting. I talked to Governor Keating. This may not be any big help in Alaska. Might get a little bit if you can get a head state on it. He would be willing to come up, or Governor Evans, either one.
Well, I think we have a unique opportunity because there is very little industry at this point. But it's also a disadvantage because those people operate from the position of having industry already established in the country. We have no things going here. There are a few advantages to being able to get ahead of it.
They're talking about the industry. It's just extremely static, that's all. There are a lot of animals sitting around in all corners of the state, but there's no product coming out of them, that's all. Nothing going to market.
Well, the only thing that I'm, the only thing I'm concerned about is... My only concern is that we don't set up a committee of some sort that would die like a lot of other committees do if they don't have a real push behind it. That's my only concern. I know we could set up a committee of range users or potential range users and have a certain flush of enthusiasm to start. And I'm just concerned about the long haul, the whole situation.
I think there's more than commissioners. You have to have some kind of administrative emphasis if they're going to work. There's been state soil conservation board in the state, so it's territorial government. It hasn't been active for 10 years. And I don't think that the governor has even named, the last I heard, and it may have happened, but I don't think the governor has named or renewed the members on that board.
Which board is that?
State Soil Conservation.
Where you were on board. He did, but he never did that.
I know the recommendation was here.
There was three of us.
Passed away 5 years ago, and I don't think he's ever been there.
Yeah. I was one of them. Was on it, and another fellow from Palmer, and Forks from Chuck Forks from Delta area.
Jesse Robinson?
No, this guy that's got the big greenhouse operation back. He was your name.
Yeah. They didn't name the three members.
We had one meeting. And they kept saying, we're going to have another meeting, we're going to get you acting, we're going to do this and that and the other thing, but it never came to pass. Yeah.
So if there isn't, just the fact that you set one up doesn't mean that everything is working.
You may have to go back to what Alan was saying a while ago. You're going to have a mission and a goal, something to shoot for, something to accomplish, or there will be no purpose. And I think this may have been one of the problems with the state board. There was never a clearly defined mission established for it. There was never a clearly defined goal for the shooting for.
And maybe out of some of our discussions here, we should have a defined goal.
That's why I keep talking about time frame.
Time frame to me is one of the goals. Some of the other. Lynn, you've been real quiet over there. What's
the loss.
And do something to make that great.
I would comment. Now that is a specific item, but when I tried to kind of guide this thing around to a group to set up somebody to guide this thing, those specifics would come out from the group. And what I'm hoping to try to establish is whether or not we set up a body of some sort to guide these specific issues. The board itself. Okay, I see your point. Okay.
Well, I follow up on what Zig said. I'm searching for a way to do what Bruce wants to do, and asked to do it yesterday, and starting a new group to solve our problem may not be the answer, because it takes a while for a group to get recognition and to and if we could use the state board and have it just full of the people we want, if we would get behind 100% and direct it the way we want, it might be a quicker way to get an action on it. Start with a whole sort of range hand group or something. We can do what we want to do as long as we understood what we're working with. I don't know, it's just, you know what we're faced with to get anything new established. I'm not saying we can't, I think we should start doing that, but I think to get action now, we have to, maybe the government would appoint those people, and maybe we could recommend the right people, maybe then maybe get some funding to do these things that you're talking about.
Maybe we need to
take
a two-pronged approach, one at the long range and one at the short range.
Okay. Well, I never have really felt, since I've come to Alaska, that the state of Alaska is really committed to providing for itself agriculture. And yet I stand up and walk down the street in Anchorage, and 9 out of 10 people I come to, if I said, hey, how would you like this situation? You want to have everything you use in your daily life come from outside, they're going to vote for it. And yet, for some reason, state itself is correct in that direction. Unless that be a strong goal.
See, this is one of the problems we have in the legislature is to, I don't think all the legislature people are hearing the voices out in the wilderness. This is the same thing that I hear. Anywhere I go, is something that has to do with food. Really. Well, you realize, of course, this is the first year we've ever had a hot bag. First time you've ever had any strong support in the House side of the legislature, for example. You've had support in the Senate side, but not that much. I do.
Yeah. I was going to say that, I think that the timing is just exactly right. Yeah. The average guy on the street is really enthused about agriculture and really seems to be in some subconscious way tuned in the fact that we need to be doing something. I think it's reflected in the legislature, right? Even on the land protection bill that I introduced, any legislator I talk to about it, even though it's really quite a step, they say it sounds good, they all say they're vocal people who understand it, but they do say it sounds good, the concept is interesting. And that's kind of unusual when you don't even have an ag industry and you have very little ag land production. So I think that the support for the kind of program we want is there. We just have to get it organized and push while it's really there.
It has to be something that they understand. You have to have the goals and objectives that we're talking about. I think have to be part of any request for structure vision for a group. I think one of them, of course, that Alan alluded to is one of the short-term ones. Part to develop a system of figuring out what the resource is. And then, of course, the one of protecting what you have and managing it.
The more comments that come in, seems to me that this is all good, and unless we get some sort of a mechanism to implement what we want done, it gets buried in the state bureaucracy to the point where it's never going to get anything done. And that's suddenly disheartening, so, coming out saving billions of lands, for example. I don't know what the problems are, but it seems like while we have, I think the legislators in favor of agriculture and developing it, and probably the state, maybe the administration is, but it seems like these things get buried to the point where the bureaucracy, the point where it doesn't get done, at least not very fast.
I don't agree with that. We got that little piece of, $15,000 for the Buffalo study?
$17,000.
That's what the Cambridge Times said, but I think we really got 15. Well, the money was designed
Damn, somebody took 2,000 out of it. 17,000 in
there. Well, maybe it is 17. Anyway, it's taken us 6 months to get that money from the university over to Fish and Game. And the obstacle has been Fish and Game. That's the university.
Well, the university, I thought.
Yeah, you did. We had a gal in Fish and Game who was going to do the work. Yeah. She's a good, well-qualified person to do it. Well, the whole study is the techniques are borrowed right from wildlife research. They're not agricultural techniques. What did the Anchorage Times folks, the Fish and Game people in Delta, they were criticizing the techniques. If I'd gone in there with an ag approach, we wouldn't have got anywhere with it. So we took a wildlife approach, and then Fish and Game sits there and has so much paperwork for it to get the money from the gal, and she's willing to do the work.
Well, we're just subcontracting. Let me tell you something, Jay. I spent this whole damn summer chasing line items down and trying to get them
going. They haven't got all the money. All we're doing is just paying her a student stipend.
Well, first I had to cut it in half to begin with because we had $34,000 for a 2-year study. So we had to cut it in half. And,
well, next time, I think I'll
just
go with the student.
Oh, don't get me started, I swear.
Well, I just want to follow up on what Charlie said. You know, I think we have to be really careful that we don't dissipate our energy by getting involved in trying to become too grandiose. I think we should really start looking at the basic building blocks of what we're trying to accomplish and be, you know, careful with our resources, our human resources, and our enthusiasm, and make it count at some point where we can begin to build on some sort of basis. I just want to, you know, be careful that we don't get carried away and try and do something we can't accomplish.
It might be that the group is starting from there, or some group, or whatever initiation is taking there. Very well, could be desirable to select or suggest selecting priority items to work on, or in which may be a particular part of the industry in a particular location. An example again would be Delta, that was selected as a project, and you go ahead with that one, and if you get that one moving, then you pick up something else. Maybe the highest priority would be labor.
You know, I think some people lose sight of the fact that the Delta project is still an experimental project. That project was conceived as an experimental deal to try to set a sense of direction for the whole state. And sometimes people forget that, and they call it the barley project. I'm trying to get away from that barley deal, because it's not really a barley project, it's an overall ag project, an experimental project. And I think some of the things that occurred there, the reason they came about is we can use some of the same theories and some of the same ideas that are coming out of that as a result of the problems we're running into and the things that are working. And I think this rangeland deal can work along the same lines, use the points that work, and get rid of the ones that didn't work.
Well, that's a sort of systems approach to a problem. And it isn't just a matter of developing land or developing animals or one.
It's a concept.
It's a systems concept. Any industry anywhere has to have the thing going for it.
Now, where are we sitting on this committee or whatever now? Where is that? Are we making any decisions in that direction as whether we're going to have a committee of people or a committee that's already in?
I'm trying to think in terms of the easiest way to have a committee that's part of the administration, like the Soil Conservation Board or some other group that would do what we want to do. I was sitting here wondering if it would be possible to change the name and call it an ag board and add a couple members without getting involved. Maybe you should do that for the start of the year.
Well, that's great. Nick started wheel building, I think, on the state board, and he asked all the subdivisions to submit a list of 5 names for a new state board. The 3 subdivisions down south didn't submit. I don't think that's ever surfaced yet.
How many members is it supposed to have?
Well, there was going to be
the old boards had three, and they felt like there's too many times when they couldn't get a quorum, or they couldn't have an effective board, so they shaped and they discussed doing this up to at least five and maybe more.
Well, this was discussed, but I don't remember now, but I think the legislation calls for three members. I think the legislation.
Well, working off of that board, you could have a subcommittee for the various areas, for the, say, rangeland and specifically on certain ag-related areas. You could have subcommittees working off that, but they have more of the ground-level people that are actually in it, in the subcommittee, for example, the structure of it.
Well, that's where all your input's going to have to come from, your ground level. Well, this people is, this with is the vehicle to steer it.
And the only thing I see where we might get lost is if we only had a three-member board, then would we have enough representation from each area that we're trying to deal with?
Well, there's a couple of things. If, for example, you were going to use the Soil Conservation Board, I think you'd need to look at the existing legislation, I don't remember it that well, to see what its legislative mandate is. And that you didn't get involved in something that was outside of what it's presently designed to do. It may mean that you not only have to add some members to it, but you may have to broaden the scope.
Yeah, that's my thought. It might be a lot easier to modify that law or that group than it would be to create a new one and end up getting what we want without having to fight as hard against other people who are short term.
But it is an advisory board, we must remember that. It's not like the Fish and Game Board, for example.
It only takes one line to change that.
Yeah.
This is this.
Yeah. Right place.
Right. I think that if we had the board, it should have the same status as far as power is concerned as the Fish and Game Board would have. But this is a new industry that we're developing in the state here, and I think they need some power. People talking about stinging, you got to have something to sting them with somewhere.
We don't care what it's called, it's not what we want to do, that's the thing. It can be called a soil conservation state. Soil conservation board has been in existence for 14 billion years, but we change the statute so it can do the things we want to do.
Add the power by
our purpose.
Add the power by statute, actually.
Well, something that a committee like that can do when this grazing thing is solved is go on to some of the other problems.
Well, I think the grazing and your basic ag is pretty well involved. Because I don't mind telling you, I'd like to see some of that barley moved out of the interior, out to these grazeland areas and utilize it, because I think the basic concept of this barley business has been to supply food for the animals. 98% of the red meat that's consumed in this state today comes from outside. And why? One reason, the cattlemen didn't have enough feed or area to work with. Now we're coming up with a feed base. And this is where I think that portion of the ag deal ties in with the cattle and the grazing and the reindeer deal. I'm trying to figure out how to feedlot those reindeer out there somewhere.
You're going to have to solve the transportation problem first, because I don't mind telling you, I'd like to have about 40 ton of that sitting in my backyard right now if I could get cheaper from there and again from outside.
Well, I think that's a major issue that we've got to address too. Why don't we just take a cup of coffee and kind of stretch our legs a minute. Take about a 10-minute break.
I don't know, maybe it's...
No,
And I think it's important to go over all those details because those are things that as we can put in the program of vision.
Our discussion on the main rangeland management program and management policy and disposal system, classification, appraisal. Is there anyone that you know of that would?
What about the land?
Department's represented, I think. I think we've got representation for all these subjects we'll get into later on this afternoon. And I might let Pat talk here a minute. Kind of sum up some of the things we discussed this morning.
Well, all I want to say is that I really like the idea of trying to utilize the State Soil Conservation Board to expand it and maybe add more authority. And I just kind of like to get an idea of what the rest of the group feels. I feel like that's a pretty good approach. If it is, we can move on into that this afternoon's work. And that might be a good time to have Art give his thing because he deals with regional planning to fit in this afternoon program. We can follow this. So you know, if we're generally pretty much agreed that the state board is ready to go, I just sort of wanted to draw that topic over.
I have only one question about
exactly your question. If I'm right, you're saying you want to know if it's going to be on a sub-district basis or if it's going to be...
Well, how are we going to make a separation between the soil conservation board and the mission directed to this as being different from the mission
As I see it, of course, first of all, the state board is just an immediate approach to a problem with the long-range approach being the ag board, whether or not we modify the state board, SCS board, to become an ag board or have to be a new board when we do that, I don't know. But I would think that we could modify the statutes to allow this board to do what we want to do, regardless of what it's called.
Yeah, I think the advantages in that they have that would, make it sound like I think it could do that.
Wayne, I think what Pat is trying to say, we've got to begin to look at the politics of this thing right now. And that is one of the approaches that we were considering to make it a little bit easier for us to develop this type of board or group that we're trying to, that I think the group here is of the opinion that we need to have this type of operation. And I think Pat and I have been discussing it a little bit. We've got to look at it from a political standpoint, too. How we can accomplish it in the least amount of time. And I keep talking about time frame. Pat and a few of the rest of us talking about time frame. And I think time is of essence. This may be the better approach in order to get it in a more timely manner than if we try and sell a whole new structure, you might say, to the legislature. We'll be spending a lot of time. This might be the angle that we can take to get this thing into operation much sooner. And this is why we're throwing this out on the table for discussion here to see.
I think you're right. I think that it would be good to have statewide range association back this committee up. I know we might not have funds to do a lot of things. It certainly could be an asset to be able to say that the range association recommended to the board be back here.
Well, certainly,
a
logical evolution might also be that. Grazing committee structure analogous to the sub-district structure,
I have a question. If we're looking at this board, the SCS board is at least a temporary governing board for these problems. And 5-member or 7-member, then just for my own job problem, I'd like to ask if anybody here has some suggestions on who could be on that board. Because if the board is going to get working, it'd be nice to have some ideas from the areas and the people involved and who would be.
It seems to me that with the addition of just a few more key people, that the use of the individuals that are now on the sub-districts boards, plus the Seward Peninsula subcommittee, you would have the majority of your key people involved already without adding a lot more.
Excuse me, now, are you talking about sub-district boards, or are you talking about the state boards?
The state
boards.
Okay. Does anybody know who they are?
Who the?
The three people are?
Well, there is no state board right now.
Well, let's suppose that we ignore what exists or what might exist or the sub-district board to just think in terms of recommending people as a list to take people from our list to submit to the governor and recommendations, you know. Because I think that's something we're going to have to do. Ignore them. But, yeah, all right.
I know a guy in my neighborhood who's pretty good at raising houses.
Bruce Wood, yeah. Bruce knows how to talk, well.
Of course. Well, like I said before, that board had three on it, and I think Chuck Hoare turned in a resignation because it wasn't doing anything. And I never did anything with it. I haven't received anything that was off of it or still on it or what the situation was. Nor Mazert, was there? Was he? Whatever.
It was a 3-year term that you were on for, so if you haven't had a renewal notice,
well,
you probably
aren't. I think it died, man.
I don't know if it's even been 3 years. It could have been.
Well, you know, I kind of think that we need to start making a list, and I'd like to see Bruce on it. I'd like to see Chuck Fork on it. I'd like to see Danny on it, on that list. And anybody that we can, you know, let's just start putting names down.
I think we could have somebody from each major area.
I think so, too.
I think if you're going to look out the chain, I would look at Bill Holmes.
Alan, do you have a comment?
I was just going to say,
yeah, I think Mel talked.
Are we getting names down here?
Yes, sir, we have four.
About Burton, somebody off of the island.
I think Bill'll be a good one from the Kodiak area.
Bill or DeWitt.
How about Marsh and Mel? Yesterday.
Mr. Head is here, too.
Somewhere's Pat, somewhere's out in that chain area or in that Kodiak area, I would like to see somewhere's in there of one of the natives on that board. That way they would know, you know, more or less a lot of the land that's selected down there is going to be under native jurisdiction, and more or less give them more of an insight of just what's going to take place with this land.
It might be bringing us into their mainstream.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
In some areas.
Yeah.
Having active ranchers that spend time in the Kodiak area, but they've expressed some interest in the industry, and Waller is the executive.
We can contact them and get their record.
What about Southeast? Is there any grazing in
there? Not too much range land down there.
No, there isn't.
Deer herders?
Not
well,
really.
There used to be some leases down there.
But there used to be some leases in that, I know the airport took up part of the rangeland in Juneau area.
No.
There used to be a lease
or airport.
There used to be a grazing lease on the Stikine Flats and one out in West Petersburg.
Well, I was just looking at a representation from the Southeast, too, you know, because we've had other matters to consider.
A lot of people down there.
Dave?
I think another representative from probably UMNAC would be the Kanagoosie Corporation.
Oh, no way. Those guys aren't really good.
Mike Sicaro. Yes, I think they're very interested.
They're only interested in the scalping operation on the
radio. Well, we've got to, the thing about it, Don, is we've got to look at the whole spectrum, really.
If you're talking about the real ranching,
I think also we have to look at the common theory of interest between the people in the Central region and the in the Western group. I mean, there is a
From the reindeer section up there where you are, do you have any suggestions for other than yourself as representative of the area?
I would hope Lucky Decker would put that statewide level, because you have interests in the chain, move back people who join the association. And of course, we work very closely with Nana in the association. What Nana is doing is helping the association. We'd like to see representation for that section also. And just listening to your conversations here, I'm just assuming, are you confident that we feel that the land situation or the grazing situation is going to be taken care of the problems? And I'd like to see maybe a matter of just using the, you know, present committee that's dealing on the land situation by different agencies, like Park Service, Fish and Wildlife Patrol, Conservation, PLM, and of course the region and the village corporation, to have representation in that committee. I would go along with that, the suggestion of maybe just adopting an existing committee, then if we could get it across to the administration or the legislature in the very near future to expand it, maybe just to deal in agriculture, because I see this as an important step where we're going to have to get the renewable resource that brings food to the mouths of our people, and of course money to go to the enemy. I think as we expand it further, there's going to have to be a lot of assistance in developing that resource.
Well, the thing about it is, as I understand it, we're proposing to expand the present board to include additional people, and we'd like to have a good representation from all areas of the state.
Yeah, I think that we're going to have to zero in not so much on representation by area as representation by industry. For example, you know, we won't want to have more than seven, and probably not more than five. Since it was three men, to get expanded to five is probably more realistic. So if we had a person that represented the beef industry and one that represented the reindeer industry, and perhaps one that represented the cattle feeders industry, maybe, or something else, in other words, so that we're covering as many areas, and then we'd have the reindeer herders association that would support their representative, and we could have a beef grower association that support their representative. I mean, I think those would be good ways to go. We just can't put people from every area.
Yeah, but keeping in mind too, you're talking about altering the state board, and keeping in mind too the objectives of the state board, that would just be super to have someone from the Seward Peninsula be on the state board, not just for the range aspect of it, but for the overall operation of the state board. That's what it's supposed to be for, is to cover the state outside the organized subdistrict.
See, that was initially set up board, and I'm sure when the advisory committee was set up, it was set up with the idea that there were three geographic agricultural locations, Kenai Peninsula, South Central Valley area, and the interior. And so that's where the board is made up of three, and that's where historically the selection has come from. We're talking about expanded areas, for one thing, which would give you an argument for expansion, right, along with the idea of expanding the jurisdiction.
But if we could modify that just a little bit, and not have it be not only geographic, but at the same time.
Yeah, industry-related.
Right. Then we could do both at the same time.
Combination.
And then we would have the support behind those individuals out there for specific organizations.
And the way I see it, this board has got to be more than an advisory board. Changing the regulations, the legislation, it should give them more power than what they have at present as an advisory board.
Well, I think with these names and this general idea of an approach to take, that the Ag Committee can take it from here, draft the legislation. I'm not sure, just we'll have to dig up the existing legislation, existing statutes, and see what kind of changes we have to make. But I think
if you're looking at an overall ag board,
right,
that industry related, then you need to look at the other aspects of this, other than the range, primarily the discussion.
Right.
You've got a dairy industry and a vegetable industry as a consideration for nomination.
Does that meet with the consensus opinion here, the group? Just run across the table here. Any objections? then I suppose that we can get started now into some of our topics that we were holding for this afternoon. The first topic is state rangeland management program. Art, would you care to expound on that, sir?
Sure. In my work, I'm not involved right now in the actual management of rangelands, but I've begun work this last month in a new planning process that has come out of the reorganization of the Department of Natural Resources, and that we're calling a regional resource planning, which is going to take a new, different look at planning resources in the state. I've myself been critical of state planning for years and years, and I still have voice. I think one of the problems has been that there's been a little bit of planning for parks and recreation over here, and a little bit of planning for agriculture over here, and a little bit for minerals over here. And it hasn't been coordinated, and there hasn't been a synthesis, combining of the different uses, figuring out how they can all work together. And that translates right down through policies, right down to the ground level, in communities if you're involved in agriculture. It's often confusing exactly what the state policy is and what they're going to do about making things work and helping things work. I should say, one thing I want to mention is I've got our planning and research section has a real vested interest in grazing, because I'm the person that's going to be taking the lead in the agricultural planning as a part of this regional resource planning. And I have a grazing lease. So I've got a grazing lease, and I've been battling some frustrating situations for a few years, and that's one area that I have a particular interest in. In my own case, I have one of these grazing leases, and have concluded that as things stand now, there's not much I can do with it. We don't have certainty that what is expected to keep the lease in good standing. It's confusing, and with that kind of confusion, certainly you don't want to go in and put the investment of time, money, and effort to go in and develop fences or buildings or hay fields. And so there are questions of policy that have to be worked out. And then the whole question of winter forage, and you've got to come up with hay fields, and there are limitations on what you can do with hay on grazing leases. And I'm sure you've discussed all these things. So anyway, I'm very involved in a personal way with beef grazing and an interest in that. Professionally, in our planning, I'd just like to throw out real quickly what we're beginning to do and what we hope to do and how we hope to work with different people. Regional resource planning was set up to draw together in a coordinated way the planning efforts in DNR, not to duplicate or replace some of the planning that the divisions are doing, but to help take the lead and work with them in some of the broad resource planning issues that we face. Initially, what we're doing is trying to identify the resources in various areas, whether it's minerals or forests or agriculture. And so we're working in identifying wherever there are class 2 or 3 soils and soils that are suitable for grazing. Now, in some cases, there may not be competing resource uses for the grazing lands, and it'll be fairly simple for them to be classified for agricultural purposes and then designated for that, and develop a plan worked out with a vision for many grazing lands available. In other cases, there are going to be competing uses, maybe for wildlife habitat. There are some areas on the peninsula that I know we've talked to Alan a lot about that he and others suggested for identification as agricultural lands, but the fish and wildlife people, the fish and game also identified this as important moose habitat. And in some cases, you'll have real conflicts. Other cases, you have conflicts with forest lands. Well, what we hope to do is identify all these different uses of the lands and then start dealing with the conflicts. See where we can sort it out so that maybe more than one use can take place, or what the most important use of that land is. It's my belief that while there are going to be real conflicts in some areas, in a lot of places, with a little careful planning, a little thought, getting together and talking with different people involved, you can sort out a lot of these uses, but you'll avoid a lot of conflict. I think in the case of, this is just off the top of my head, but I think there are areas in the Kenai that are valuable moose habitat because of the willows interspersed with grasslands, where you can also have cattle. They're not necessarily competitive for the same forage. And so anyway, as our program is developing, we're in the process of is making an inventory of the resources, working with what SCS soil information is available, what might be obtained from the Landsat imagery, what various experts have, so that we can feed that into the planning and classification process, working closely as we can, as closely as we can with people like Nick Carney and Bob Palmer and everybody involved, try to get our collective thoughts together and what lands are going to be available and when. And then, figuring out the best policies to make these lands available, how they should be made available, and what time schedule, and working out for the management plans. One thing we hope to look at and get involved with, and we haven't yet, this project's just begun the last few weeks, is working with the people that are interested in the reindeer herding and seeing what type of land designations are going to be necessary to permit that to develop. Anyway, briefly put, that's what we're getting involved in. I'd be glad to talk about it if people have any questions.
Go around the table. Anybody have any comments? Or
question. Art, how much thought's been given to involving the public in this conflict resolution areas? One of the things Jim and I were talking about this morning is that it's fairly easy to identify the resources to the level that you're going at right now. When you get to such a situation as we have on the Kenai Peninsula, where there's both the possibility of grazing lands and moose habitat, I think here you have to step outside of the bureaucracy and go to the people and let them make the decision as to which resource value or which combination of resource value should be allocated. Has there been any thought as to that process and how it should be
done? We've given some thought to that. And my own feeling is it's involving the public in making the decisions is absolutely necessary. Planning, to me, doesn't mean much unless you're planning for the people, with the people, and get their input. And that's not always an easy thing to do. Experience has been, in some cases, people go hold a hearing in an area, and they'll, one month, one group of people will tell them one thing, and then somebody else come back and hold a hearing 6 months later, and they'll get another set of information. So it's not easy, but I think it has to be done. One thing which I'm looking to do is to try to figure out ways that we can, first of all, utilize some of the public information that already exists. A lot of cases have been hearings in the last 5-10 years, and the testimony that people are just laying on a shelf on some tape recorder. Lots of times there's some good information. Also, different agencies and different groups hold a variety types of hearings, and I hope that we can utilize some of those hearings in addition to having our own types of hearings and getting the public input. I know in a lot of areas of the states, I was working with villages out in the Custom of the Elder in particular, I noticed that there were so many hearings, so many public meetings that people really got weary and going to them and saying the same thing over and over and over again, and it seemed like every month there was a new crop of bureaucrats who were coming out and putting maps up and saying, what do you think we should do? At some point, it just becomes a overburdening process. So I think it's a tough thing to do, but I think we've got to really get into that.
I think part of the problem you were alluding to right there is one of the problems you're going to find in the regional analysis is that you're forced to deal with such a broad brush approach that you're immediately creating conflicts. One of the things we found in the Delta planning process, which we talked about wildlife habitat versus agriculture, there's conflict. You get down to the detail planning that occurred within the Delta project, there really isn't that much conflict.
Sort of.
And one of the problems I see that has happened if you go back to utilizing old data or previous testimony is that generally the database has been on that generalized level. So the fish and wildlife people are going to say we can't have agriculture and vice versa. So that's why you've got to, all you're going to be able to do is identify the areas where you need better data. And then you're going
to
go to
the public. That's a major task right there. And initially, we're going to be looking at a very broad brush planning framework, and we won't be able to get into the more area-type planning, more site-specific planning, where you can make that careful delineation between those things. But that's just a big idea. I agree with that. I think one area that I think we have to address in our planning collectively is coordinating the different things that are involved with agricultural development. It's, you know, in the Kenai, the grazing leases have been made. But you don't have a coordinated policy, for example, with transportation, so it's easier to get that, like Bruce was saying, get that barley down. If you're talking agriculture, you're talking transportation, you're talking a lot of different things to make the whole development, the whole thing work. And can't look at something just by itself. You can't look at just summer grazing and then forget about what you can feed the cows in the winter time. You've got to have a plan for using the rangeland so that you can get enough hay or silage to feed them in the winter time. And it's that type of comprehensive sort of coordinated plan that you can put out.
Art, does the regional planning process, as you see it from the Department of Natural Resources, concentrated primarily on state lands in that regional area, or are you going to get rather deeply involved in how that plan will interface with the private, federal, if there is any, native and so on plans as well?
That's a very good question. We're a decision-oriented planning process. In a sense, we're not planning to put plans on the shelf to meet the decisions that the DNR, Department of Natural Resources, has to make. But in doing that, we're not going to restrict ourselves just to looking at state lands. I think it's real important if you're talking about agricultural, forestry, mineral development, to look at the resources, whatever lands they lie, so that you can develop a coordinated development program between the different landowners. There may be places where an agricultural development can't take place unless you use a different land and different ownership. So very much we want to be involved in all the lands, all the resources, no matter whose land we're involved in our initial inventory mapping the resources wherever we're going to find them. Yeah.
Are you also
Yes, I, after our discussions of wetlands down in Holbrook, what, a week or two ago, I just, when we divided up the tasks of the planning group, I decided just to clear it out. So, yes, somebody in the office has that as a subject to deal with, of course.
Do you know who it is?
Not right now. I can get
it. I call you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to expose him.
Another thing which I feel like I'd like to mention that is complicating our planning process is where you have these land disposal pressures which come from the people and also are sort of developed by the legislature. And sometimes those pressures are such that you don't have the time to do the kind of planning to make careful decisions. There's an area in the Kenai that I'm familiar with, Bruce and I have talked about, which is an example for me of an area that has some agricultural potential. But it's going to be disposed of before, I feel, complete agricultural planning or other planning for fish and wildlife resources have taken place. And I think that the state hasn't done enough planning, the right kind of planning, but I hope before major decisions, a lot of resources have land disposals that are made, have to be made. Do that plan. That takes a lot of effort. It takes a commitment from the legislature and administration to do that.
I'd like to mention, since you bring that up, that there's been some really successful planning for the management of publicly owned lands in counties across the country by the principal people involved, individuals within that area. It's been highly successful in the management of public lands in agricultural areas.
Citizens groups.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done in a fraction of the time and very little expense, and in the long run has satisfied the community much better than imported farmers.
Have the states encouraged this through county governments?
Several of them have. Wisconsin and Iowa and California is beginning to do it. That I know personally.
RPC is
Art, I've got one question. I keep thinking about time frames. What kind of time frame are we talking about when we more or less get it down to where we can take action?
Well, that's a good point. First, I feel like we should have started this process a couple of years ago, many years ago. This started something that we have to, without reinventing the wheel, at the same time you have to get your information. Developing strategies and building. We want to charge these faster. Now, some decisions and classification have taken place this winter and spring. We're working very closely with the public interest land identification process, which identifies lands for specific purposes, some agricultural lands, fishing and wildlife, key habitat, fishing game, forest lands. And those recommendations will be completed by March 31st. And so we're very much involved in identifying agricultural lands. Alan, we were involved in the summer. Any further agricultural lands, either to be classified as agriculture or also as a use with other uses on some state lands. So that's taking place in between now and March 31st. In our own planning time frame, we expect to be analyzing areas with different resource uses in the late May. We'll be able to sort some things out then. It's not something that's going to be completed by June 1st, but it's going to be
One reason I'm interested in the time frame also is that legislative action has to be taken on this, or should be. And we may have a long session this time, but if you come in too late to the legislature on this go-around, if you come in late in the game, then we're looking at another year before anything can be implemented as a result of your studies. Plus, the fact is, why will it take so long? I'm not criticizing, don't get me wrong. But is there any reason why it couldn't be done sooner?
Well, it depends on what we're talking about getting done. Some things we've already got done. With the help of others, we've already identified some resource conflicts. And we don't necessarily have to wait until some magic date of June 1 or May 15 to be ready to have some input, decisions that are being made. In fact, I very much feel that we should, if we can get assistance legislature or to the other various divisions within the DNR, Fishing Game, some of their decisions, we should be doing it as we can help right now. So if there are ways that we can have input to the legislature this session, I'd be glad to help. Understanding that this is a planning process that's going to take place over several years, we may not have all the answers.
Excuse me.
I guess I can direct this question to Jim. Is there a possibility of sitting down within the department and putting together a full package? Right now you're really only talking about resource identification. Is there a possibility of sitting down, putting together a package of potential costs to go to the legislature with, to do some of these other public input aspects of allocation of resources once you've identified them? All they're going to accomplish is step one. You've got at least two more steps to go beyond that. One of them is public input to the allocation, and the second is then state policy decision on the bill.
Well, I think you're suggesting what would it take to accomplish those two steps sooner? Well, we've already prepared our 81 budgets, and a lot of that work is budgeted in there. I think that part of the regional planning process will result in some real decisions by the end of this fiscal year, and probably in the interim too. Some will require more information and we won't be able to make. Others will be relatively straightforward and those will be made. So it's sort of a mix. I think that in some cases we will be coming up with some fairly firm recommendations. The department will be taking a position and it will be done. And in other cases that are more difficult or more complex, we'll probably have to go out and get more information, maybe more public input, resource information. So it'll be sort of a staggered.
One reason that I keep harping on time business is because I think we got a ball rolling within the state now, and if you don't keep pushing on it, that ball's going to slow down. This is where I'm coming from on that.
You know, I would really welcome a chance to sit down and talk with you and Pat and others about in detail just what we might do to help this legislative session.
We're meeting the 13th through the 14th, but I should finalize it in a couple of days and tell you later.
Okay, that's great.
That might be out of on the agenda to set up.
No.
Sure enough.
This is something that's been very much in my mind because a lot of people assume. See, we had hoped that this planning process would have begun last spring. It just started October or November. And so originally we thought we'd have some input in this legislative session. Lately everyone's saying, well, we just can't do it this year. I keep saying, well, maybe there's something we can do. Let's go right off.
Well, we need to keep putting fuel on that fire to keep it
okay.
Burning.
Okay.
Art, I guess I have one question. in the process of doing your evaluation, you utilize existing resource data somewhere, sometime it isn't there. It might be a sort of self survey. In the recommendation process that you probably go through, do you have any way of recommending the scope that would be necessary to increase this resource data?
Yes.
What I'm really getting at, and I'll just use soil survey as an example, because it's one we're most familiar with. You don't have a soil survey in the area, you could certainly recommend to FCS that it be given high priority. But there's also the priority is developed around help from somebody.
Yes.
And so will you be in the process of recommending that, say, there be state funds to supplement SES funds to get the job done?
Sure. I don't know about that the scope of that specific recommendation, but yes, definitely. One of our responsibilities is to help make recommendations within our budget recommendations for funds that be necessary for further research and study, identification of resources, and inventory work. In addition to making those kind of recommendations, and that'll be done very quickly between that and this very spring, identifying areas of need for work. In addition to working within DNR on that, I hope that we can work really closely with different agencies like SES, in some cases private corporations, or maybe some big corporations who are involved in rangeland studies, agricultural studies. Just work with everybody we can to help coordinate that process and get more information.
You guys have a lifespan expectancy?
Forever. No. So no, I can't sound like a bureaucrat. We've got a work program with certain expectations of where we'll be next June 3rd and certain recommendations. We envision that beyond that, there'll be an intensive period of several years that will be very heavily involved in the conditions. But beyond that, I think we'll
Art, your credibility just went up 50 points.
Okay. Any other questions?
Any other questions or comments on what Art has been discussing here?
I would just compliment the possible.
Well, the next topic we've got here is a state rangeland management policy. I'm going to throw it on the table here. We'd like to get involved in it.
Okay. Well, it looks like maybe two we have.
Two are kind of the
management program and management policy might be able to work together. I'm not sure what we can do with that.
Okay, then we'll drop on down to the rangeland disposal system. We got a classification.
Let's see if we can find
it. Okay, any comments?
I mean, that's what it is.
Well, I'd just like to make a comment about rangeland management program policy. When we address the range, the range is only one part of an economic system that makes something happen. And almost any place in Alaska, it's a summer resource, with the exception of reindeer and